It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Morning, honey. It's good to start the week off with you again. This is Chasing the Word, our beginning of the week broadcast for Compassion Radio.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
We are marching our way through the book of John. Marching is probably not the fairest word there because we spent much time luxuriating, shall we say,
camping
in each chapter.
On, chewing on, digesting the word of God.
It's kind of nice when you're not really in a rush to get through something that's really good. It's kind of like savoring a really good book, which is what this is. Probably the best bit of personal biography ever written, I would think. John captures the person and the relationships that made Jesus and his disciples the group, the unique team that they were. And we're so glad to be able to spend time in this book this way.
It is great to be spending time diving in and digging deep into the Word of God. And we're seeing the personal side of John a lot of ways here because this is his 35,000-foot view of the story. And it also gets into the personal one-on-one view of the story that John sees as he walks every day during the time of Jesus' ministry here on earth.
We got a couple of ways for you to jump in deep with us. One is to go to the website, and each podcast for this beginning of the week program will have a link to a Bible study that includes the special edition of the book of John that we've been making available to you called the Dynamic Gospel. Mm-hmm. Chapter by chapter, we'll give that version to you for free as part of that Bible study sheet. It's meant to kind of sharpen us by encouraging each other as we sit down and read the Word together to talk about it, to think through some of the deeper questions that any text would bring up in you, and not just have someone preach of it to you every week from the pulpit. The biggest work God's going to do is in our hearts as we really wrestle with His Word. And when we do it together, we stand a much better chance of coming out of the pool alive.
Well, and to remind our listeners, this is a conversation between you and I, Bram. Yeah. This is our take on what we're getting from reading the scriptures together and our dialogue back and forth about, you know, what things mean or what things we have looked up to understand a little bit better about the culture that Jesus lived in as well. Those who are listening could get a whole different take on some of the things because that's the way the Holy Spirit is. Yeah. The Holy Spirit meets us where our lives intersect with Scripture. That's a great habit to get into. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if it doesn't line up exactly with what we're saying, that's okay. Yeah. Make sure that it lines up with what the Holy Spirit is teaching you through the reading of the Word.
As you actually read the Word.
Right.
This is also a conversation between us and God together. It's a three-way conversation. If we have two of us in the room, Jesus says, I'll be with them there. So anytime you have a group, add one. If you've invited Jesus, you've got him there with you. The Word promises us that. So we're trying to exemplify for you what it's like to actually sit down and do it. So jump in with us now. Mm-hmm. We're jumping into the book of John, chapter 11.
This is a very famous story
in
the life of Jesus. And the title of the chapter from the version that I'm reading is Lazarus Dies at Bethany. Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, and it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." "Rabbi," the disciples told him, "just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going back there again?" "Aren't there 12 hours in a day?" Jesus answered. "If anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble, because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks during the night, he does stumble, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up." Then the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will get well." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let's go to him." Then Thomas, who was also called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go so that we may die with him."
Interesting way to enter into the story. We usually think about the specifics of Jesus' interaction with Lazarus at the graveside. That's about the kernel of the story that we usually get taught. We don't spend a lot of time talking about how they got there and the kind of teaching that Jesus was already doing for his disciples on their way to Bethany. Do you think he was contradicting himself? Because he says early in that chapter, this is not the kind of sickness that leads to death. It leaves them to believe that, oh, well, he's going to get better.
He's going to get healed.
As if he's going to recover. But there's something that becomes pretty apparent. Obviously, really not talking about just feeling physically sick or ending up physically dead. He's talking about something much, much bigger.
Well, we have to look at it that way because it does seem like Jesus is contradicting himself when he says, this is not going to lead to death. We read then just a few lines later that he knows that Lazarus is in fact dead. Yeah. But I think what you're talking about, Bram, is the spiritual death. It's not leading to that kind of death, the final death. It's leading to maybe an abbreviated time that Lazarus is not available to us physically. And that's a kind of death. But I think he's talking about something deeper, just like you said.
So it fascinates me that he would say this is not the kind of sickness that leads to death. I don't even think he's talking about physical sickness either. If he's talking about a spiritual death, we're talking about a spiritual sickness. So what is that sickness? Maybe death itself is something that could be seen in God's economy as being a sickness. It's the thing that knocks us on our backs. We can't recover from this. It's one of those things where, but for the grace of God, I'm not going to get up from this kind of situation. And that would be kind of a hopelessness thing too, right? An interesting suggestion there toward the end of that particular passage where Thomas the twin says, well, fine, let's all go die together. And it does seem like they're being a bit snarky or, you know, if we're going to die, I might as well die with him here. Everyone else seems to be dying.
Oh, wow. See, I don't see it that way. I see it that he's a zealot for Jesus. Yeah. You know, okay, if he's going to die, we're going to follow him into that. We believe so much in this man. We're going to follow him into that death.
Like the die a glorious death is somehow wonderful?
I guess, yeah. I don't know that he thinks it's wonderful, but just that I'm committed to this cause. I'm committed to this Jesus that I've said I'm going to follow. And I've, you know, given up the rest of my life to follow him in this way.
And maybe John is saying, Thomas, calm down a bit.
Maybe.
None of us are excited to go walk into our deaths right now. We've been through enough already. Let's not push the envelope too hard, shall we?
Yeah.
So they're on their way. What do you think in the 12, as they're traveling with Jesus, is going on in their minds or the kind of side conversations that we don't hear a lot about? Imagine those 12 walking with Jesus, hearing this weird teaching moment where they're not really grasping what's coming.
Yeah.
But they know something's got to be coming because Jesus brought it up.
Yeah.
What do you think they're talking about?
Well, I can see a whole bunch of different kind of conversations going on. If they're saying, well, didn't he say this wasn't going to end in death, but that so he would be glorified? What does that mean for him to be glorified if Lazarus is okay? But then he says, well, he's dead. So are we just going to mourn with Mary and Martha? Are we going to be part of the wake? Are we going to be part of the burial ceremony? I don't know if they know for sure exactly how long Lazarus has been dead. It could be very confusing for them as to why are we going, especially if you're sure and confident that Jesus' life is in danger to go back to this place, because Bethany was not far from Jerusalem.
A couple of miles.
So I'm sure the word would travel really fast that Jesus was back in town.
Things have been ramping up the entire book. So every chapter we gain here, there's more and more pressure and more public attention to his ministry and more danger.
Yeah,
I get the impression that they're thinking to themselves, oh, well, if it's a natural thing, we've seen God do miracles. He can heal people. Not a big problem. We've already just talked about the thing that could not be done, the impossible miracle happening for the blind man. So when he gets his sight not restored, but his sight generated, he had never had sight. And now he has it and has a deeper understanding and on a spiritual level than anyone else around him because he's seen God create that which was not there.
Yeah.
This next thing seems to up the ante. We're going to find out about the conditions of Lazarus's death and burial that go against anything that anyone thought was possible, period, ever.
Right.
It just keeps getting more and more implausibly impossible as he goes along. And yet glorious things keep happening. I keep thinking, and people have taught about this for years, that every one of these miracles is a drop from the bucket of which Jesus is finally going to pour out on the cross and rid the world, wash it clean of the kind of death that would have brought all of mankind down forever had not Jesus stepped into it. So he's dipping from this bucket a little at a time, and everyone gets to see what happens with individuals. One of these days, the entire well will be poured out in and through Jesus. I think he's pointing to that. Each one of these is an example in the little scale of what I'm going to go through and do for you.
Mm-hmm. I want to encourage our listeners to look at it exactly with regenerated eyes or with new eyes, because this is a story that is so common in Christendom.
Yeah.
Those of us who grew up in the church have heard this story so many times that it's imprinted on our memories. Mm-hmm. And as I was beginning to read through chapter 11, I thought, oh, here's the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that was kind of my attitude when I first started reading it. And then I thought, wait a minute, I don't want to look at it that way. I really do want to see this in a new light, in a new way. And some parts of me looks at the first part of this chapter that we just read, and I see Jesus maybe getting a little frustrated with his disciples. Of course, I think that was probably common with their lack of understanding. But take a step back, guys. Don't be so eager to fight or to die for a cause or to protect me from something that, you know, I don't need to be protected from or whatever. I feel like I want to see this in a new way. I'm not sure what that new way is exactly. Your question about what the disciples might have been talking about on the way was interesting, but I don't know. And I'm continually asking God, what do you want me to know about this? Because this is an important story in
putting yourself
Jesus' ministry.
In the story helps that, though. If you can imagine yourself being one of those disciples, having never experienced a resurrection before, you don't know what you're walking into, but everything you've done so far with Jesus, everywhere you've gone, has been a surprise. So I would expect that there would have been a whole lot of expectancy in these guys as they travel with him to Bethany. What's going to happen next? They're probably still reeling from the miracle of the blind man being healed. There's got to be an expectancy and a confusion all at the same time. And this just seems to be the way that they had to go through this. One more thought before we move on to the next section of our program. Imagine a racehorse that knows it's time for the race to begin, and it's fidgeting and straining at the gate, knows it's about to run the race of its life. The jockey is holding it back. But at the moment, when it finally is time to burst out of that gate, a well-trained, well-focused horse is going to make the most of that opportunity and get to the front as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. I see Jesus sometimes acting like one of those racehorses. Mm-hmm. He knows the Holy Spirit is holding him back from going to Bethany. People that he loves are there. And he knows in his spirit, this is going to be big. This is serious.
Yeah.
My friend is going to have to go through something which is incredibly painful, or even worse for his sisters.
Yeah.
They have to watch him die. And yet the Spirit's saying, but something great is going to be coming of this. And he knows in his spirit that's going to be glorious. He is so eager to get there, but yet the Holy Spirit's holding him back for a time.
Well, I think we look at this as if, oh, well, Jesus knew what was going to happen, so it was no big deal. I think we see some of his humanity here, too, there's got to be a part of him that is anxious about, well, not anxious, but is concerned about, like you said, Mary and Martha and what they're going to have to go through losing their brother, even the grief that he will feel.
Yeah.
And knowing that this physical death has happened.
In that moment, though, when he's talking to his disciples, it's like it's almost a giddiness of saying, something great is about to happen.
Right.
This is not the kind of thing that's going to lead to death.
Yeah.
It's going to be something else. You can see him getting worked up, excited about what's to come. They're wondering, what's the big deal? If a guy needs some rest, let him get healed up. Or if he's dead, what's the point? You know,
yeah.
No point in rushing there. But something is going on in the heart of Jesus, which is beyond their understanding or comprehension, that they're going to be wowed and amazed at how it transpires in and through Jesus when he gets there. Mm. And that's the part of the story we're more familiar with.
Yeah.
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
So now let's read the same passage from The Dynamic Gospel.
Chapter 11 again, verse 1. A man was sick, had been for a while. His name was Lazarus from the town of Bethany. His sisters Mary and Martha also lived there. The sister Mary was to be renowned as the one who poured expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. Having used her own hair to wipe his feet clean, she poured out her love for Jesus. She shared that same spirit with her brother. So Mary and Martha sent for Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you haven't already heard yet, your dear friend is gravely ill." Jesus didn't mistake the importance of the message, but he gave a curious reply. "This sickness isn't the killing kind, but watch closely. God's going to get the honor he deserves through it. It will rub off on God's son, too." It was obvious to all that Jesus loved these dear friends of his. Even after discussing the severity of Lazarus' illness, Jesus remained where he was for two more days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Okay, it's time to get moving to Judea again." The disciples of Jesus looked at each other and asked, "Are you sure that's such a good idea? You know the followers of the other rabbis will stone you on sight. You still want to go?" "How long is the day?" Jesus asked them. 12 hours, maybe? Get going early, or you'll be stuck out in the dark, stumbling around. With the light of the world to go by, you'll never stub your toe. If you notice someone stubbornly banging his knee on every obstacle, it's obvious he's in the dark. Inside and out, he's truly blind. After this teaching moment, Jesus returned to the subject of Lazarus. "Our friend has been sleeping long enough. It's time for me to wake him up." The disciples, still trying to convince Jesus not to go, said, "If he's sleeping, he probably needs the rest. Maybe we should just leave him alone." Jesus, of course, was speaking gently of the death of Lazarus, as the disciples were shortly to understand. For Jesus put it plain enough that the dullest among them would get it. "Lazarus is dead," he told them. "And frankly, I'm thrilled I wasn't there before it happened, because of what is about to happen to your faith. But enough talk already. Let's go to Lazarus without any more delay." Thomas, the twin, spoke up. "Fine. If we're all going to die together, let's get on with it."
I'm curious to get your thoughts on verse 9 and through there where Jesus is talking about, aren't there 12 hours in a day and you work during the day when it's light? This is another reference to being blind.
Yeah, it is.
And I didn't realize that. I'm seeing this now with new eyes. I'm seeing this in a different way and how Jesus is referring to being able to see or not see, being in the dark or being in the light. This teaching is just a huge thread that we've seen throughout the book of John so far. He is so intent on those around him understanding what it means to be in the light and to be able to see what's going on around you.
John has talked in two basic metaphors, the word and the light. Mm-hmm. And he's referring to Jesus in ways that we can take an understanding of his character and his substance. What is the substance of light but to illuminate things? And he's saying basically that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus says the same thing in his own words. He also says he is the Word, become flesh. Everything you need to know or understand is present in this person. So we get the metaphor if we stick to what John is saying about the character, the qualities, the substance of Jesus. These things keep reappearing. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense that he would talk about what blindness is. He's obviously not blind to the truth. Mm-hmm. He's obviously able to see in the day. He's able to make metaphors work. He says, it's like this. The kingdom of God is like. Mm-hmm. And now he's saying simply, if you have eyes to see, you can go places. As long as the light's with you, you can see fine. You're not going to stub your toe. And of course, it's inferred by this, and we read this across all these centuries as being a description he's making in the first person of himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember in John 8, he makes that very statement, "I am the light of the world." It was one of the I am statements that we talked about before, and he's referring to that here. Walk in the light. When the light is there and the light is with you, be sure that you're taking advantage of that. You're not just kind of hanging out and, you know, going along with the flow. You're actually taking advantage of the light that is present with you at this time right now.
And he's also saying, by suggestion here, that they may not always have that light with them the way they expect to.
Mm-hmm.
When he says something like, as long as you have the light, that's suggestive. And he's prophesying at that point what's coming next for him. There will be darkness. Even he will experience darkness. Mm-hmm. But that kind of darkness is a seed of resurrection, not a desperation that leads to nothingness.
The permanent darkness.
There's nothing about Jesus. Mm. There's always always with Jesus. So what he's talking about leading them into will be very, very difficult for them. But they're going to see in Lazarus something that they would have never expected was possible. We'll talk more about that next week as we get into the details of the death of Lazarus. Mm-hmm. There's something going on here that even goes against the rules that Moses laid down.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's going to be another big slap in the face of those who claim Moses as the supreme leader and ignore Jesus at their peril.
Well, Jesus talks about being the light of the world in the I Am statement of John 8. But also in verse 10, he says, if anyone walks during the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Yeah. And this is a
prophetic statement,
a spiritual reference. Yeah. This is not just a physical reference of whether the lights are turned on or off. This is what light is inside of you, or is there light inside of you? Mm. Do you have the light of the Spirit inside of you to see with real, honest eyes, with truthful eyes, with spiritual eyes, what is happening in the darkness of this world?
And it would seem like a really hopeful statement, too. If there is light in you, then you're not going to be in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You personally are not going to be in the dark, not just stumbling around in it physically. You're not going to be left without some understanding, a transparency of the things around you to see what's really going on behind mm-hmm. them. That kind of wisdom and discernment can really be ours if that light is within us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, this is what I'm like. This is what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm transparent with you. Even the mysteries themselves have explanations. He's not holding back from his disciples. He said, and many times he's had to explain explicitly what he was talking about so they would not miss the import of what he said.
Yeah.
So even his mysteries are clear.
Mm-hmm.
Even his difficult sayings are simple and straightforward. There's nothing about the person of Jesus that we see here that is trying to be some sort of cagey, unknown, and unwilling to be present and with you. I mean, it's like saying, if you and I started the marriage and you wanted to be completely mysterious to me and never told me anything about yourself, and I'm always left guessing the rest of my life, there wouldn't be much of a marriage there.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
The whole miracle of a marriage is making ourselves more and more available with less and less fear
mm-hmm.
that the person that you've entered into this contract with, this covenant, is going to do you bad.
Mm-hmm.
You trust more and more over those years that the person has your best interest at heart, and to know them is a wonderful and meaningful and eternal thing.
But it takes investment.
It does. And Jesus himself is investing in the people here. Mm-hmm. He's not staying away from them. He knows his time is short.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it's kind of a short marriage. He's going to be taken away from them very quickly. But he's also giving them hope that that light can be within, like you said, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like that I see Jesus investing in these men and women that are daily on the road with him.
Yeah.
And I see him doing that in us as well. He daily invests in us as we open our hearts and minds to the Spirit to hear from God, to hear from the Word. And when we spend time chasing the Word and digging into the Word, we find out what the heart of Jesus is for us and what his investment in us really, truly is.
And so we open that invitation to God to come in. We mm-hmm. have to say that daily, mm-hmm. Lord, what do you have for us in your Word? And actually go spend time with him in that. That's our encouragement again to you folks. Every time we do this Chasing the Word series, it is again us throwing down the gauntlet saying, join us in this.
Yeah.
Pick up the Word, pick up a sword, and sharpen yourself with it. I mean, be sharpened by it.
Yeah.
And join us in this journey. We're so glad to have you along with us for that. And don't forget to stop by the Compassion Radio website to get your own copy of the Dynamic Gospel, either in the Bible study format on our podcast pages, or order the entire copy of the Dynamic Gospel as you support Compassion Radio. We're very excited to have you as part of this journey with us.
I'm coming back to the heart of It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth. How much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to.
God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.